Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job has begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 23 Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds, and I am your host, Karen Armstrong. With me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing well. I gotta say, this week was not the best Big Brother week, but you know what? There's still some good stuff to talk about. I am excited to rate the players, so that should be good. But yeah, definitely not a super fun week, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. Not necessarily the results we were looking for, but you know what? That happens sometimes.
It does happen sometimes. What else happens sometimes is that sometimes Jacob Jones comes around. Jacob Jones is with us tonight. How are you doing, Jacob?
I am. Taryn, you first did the introduction very enthused and very full of life, should I say, which it was nice to see. Typically, you know, you are, but you added a little bit of bah, 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 boom to that, which I really
a love. Little bit of.
Ooh, yes. You add a little bit of destiny. But yeah, I kind of am on the same sentiments.
Sentiment,
is that the correct word? Okay, yes, as Melissa. And, you know, it was a sad week, but it was a sad week, and I'm excited to rank the players as well. But it's just like when I was coming up with these numbers, I was like, because this week, literally.
I feel like the ratings are also going to be hard because if I'm trying to like be objective, it's very different than the way that I would like to rank some of these players.
Yes.
Like I want to be like ones across the board, you know, but I can't necessarily do that because someone is going to win. And so they can't all be ones. So
wait, Melissa, let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Let's just do it right now. Okay, ones perfect. For everyone. Podcast over.
Goodbye. Ever.
Yeah.
Oh boy. It's over. Oh boy. All right. Well, we are here again to talk about everything that's been going on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. And this roundtable is all about the cookout as they have made the final six here. It was only 4 or 5 weeks ago that I first put on the roundtable survey. Do you think the cookout will make it to the final six? And 41% of you said no.
And you were dead wrong. So how does that feel?
Wait, but isn't that less
I hope
than
you
half?
Feel bad.
But that's less than half.
Yeah, it's less than half. So at least, you know, some people had hope in humanity. And the others, they kind of thought the fights within the cookout were going to lead to their demise. But no. The cookout. Oh, phew, the cookout had a bigger objective in mind.
Now you know what I see. Like, it's just literally just a quick, stupid bark out of nowhere, and then just like, anyway. Thanks, Piper. She wanted to contribute.
Wait, your dog name is Piper?
Yeah, this one's Piper.
Wait,
the other one's Bradley.
I have a Cocker Spaniel. Sorry, Taryn. I have a Cocker Spaniel, and her name is Piper.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, so it's my dog, but when I moved to Austin, I took her back to my parents. But aww. I still consider it my dog. I go back to visit, you know, like an estranged father, but yeah. Her name's Piper Jones.
Her name is Piper Denny. But
oh,
you know.
Look at that. I love that. Aaron, change your cat name immediately.
Yeah, it needs to be Piper Armstrong.
Yeah. Like, nah, I think you guys should change it to Kellis because that's a great name for a great cat.
I see. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I love how we're all just like talking about random stuff now. I feel like I've been watching like all these various podcasts about this week about Big Brother, and everyone's been like, let's just talk about something else. But you know what I will say back to Big Brother is that I still think that if Xavier had won HOH, I don't think that Alyssa would have gone home. I mean, really? I was going to say, we'll see what he says after the season, but I feel like after the season, because that's what happened, he probably would have said like, no, of course, like once he sees that people are excited about the cookout making final six, I bet he'll be like, no, no, of course I was going to go with the cookout. But like, I really feel that he would have, if he had won HOH or if he had the opportunity to give Alyssa HOH, like, I think he would have
done it. Yeah. And you think
Yeah, he definitely was throwing the HOH. And I don't think that he would have tried to beat Alyssa if it was just down to him and Alyssa. I think he would have thrown it to Alyssa, but I don't think he would have won it and targeted Alyssa.
No,
not targeted Alyssa. I mean,
I think that obviously he wouldn't have tried to win it, but like if he had somehow, say it was like some sort of crapshoot or whatever, say he won it, do you think that he would have been like, Alyssa, you gotta go? Mm.
Yes.
Really?
I do.
I don't think so.
Because his main really objective was like, I don't want to be the one to do that to Alyssa. And like, he wanted to be that vote for Alyssa. And so I can kind of see where Melissa is coming from, but I still like want to hold out hope and faith that Xavier saw what Tiffany did in evicting her number one, Claire, and hopefully he would follow suit to get to the goal that they wanted to get at the beginning.
So, yeah. I mean, I'd be really upset if he made this whole stink about Tiffany needing to get Claire out and like, look what she's done, blah, blah, blah. And then him like saved Alyssa and not gotten her out. Horrible. I would have been upset, but I don't know. It just felt that way. It felt like he was leaning in the direction of like, well, you know, Tiffany won the HOH and she kind of brought this on herself because she turned on the cookout first. And so,
that's his cookout attitude now.
And so it could have been a thing. I don't know. I'm glad that we didn't have to see that, especially for like his sake. I mean, if he was going to do that, that would be so bad for him. I mean, imagine like the reaction of people outside of the house. But I do think that that's a possibility. And maybe that's what the 40% of people were thinking would happen.
Maybe. Well, we are here now at the cookout. There's definitely, I think, cause for celebration to those that were hoping that the cookout would succeed with their mission. They got to the final six all together, something that has never been done in the history of the show. The last time we talked, both Claire and Alyssa were in the game, but the double went very smoothly for the cookout, at least in terms of their main objective. Didn't go smoothly for Kyland, and he got upset about it, but they did make it to the final six, and they now have they've made a big statement. I mean, we will continue to talk about the game as it goes because the game does not take any breaks. But I think that at the end of the day, at the end of the season, when we look back at Big Brother 23, this is the moment of the season. This is the thing that will be talked about the most. This is the thing that will make the most lasting impact. The cookout makes the final six, all six of them. And what a statement it is. I mean, it is getting attention outside of the normal Big Brother channels. It is something that, I think that they have all sacrificed for, whether they like actually sacrificed or just think that they sacrificed. They all have sacrificed to get there, and I think all of them should be applauded for that. Before we get into what they should not be applauded for.
I completely agree. And I went to dinner with one of my friends and their father, and I was talking about Big Brother, and they're like, wait, I heard about Big Brother this week. And I was like, Yes, you know what I mean? So I love that it's getting the universal or national coverage of a show like Big Brother, and also of the message that the cookout was sending. And I'm not saying I cried, but it was very emotional. I'm a very emotional person. I'm a Pisces. And so I am very in tune with my emotions. And if tears would like elude from my eyeballs, then I would have let them drop, but they didn't. But it was just such a sweet, tender moment when I saw on Sunday's episode, welcome to the cookout. I saw on Thursday episode after the eviction, like, wait, we can't celebrate now. We can't celebrate now. And then like getting the hug and then them picking like, oh, which food is each member of the cookout? It was just a nice Blackish moment that I loved and was enthused about and was energized from. And it's something we haven't seen in Big Brother. And so I know it gave a lot of people hope for the rest of the franchise, the seasons to come. And it just was a beautiful Black moment. It was so sexy to me. It was just amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's to this day, there are still the detractors of this whole thing. But, it really strikes me, you know, in the Q&A that we did this week that I did with Rob, there was a fan that came on who talked about how much it meant to her that the cookout existed and succeeded. And there are so many alumni who have been, tweeting about it, who have been talking about it, talking about how much it means to them to feel like their experience is being not necessarily avenged, but that something that is a statement is being made, and that has sort of helped validate their experience and helped give them something. If it doesn't mean anything to you and you only see the things in it that you don't like, the things that made it a less exciting season for you, or the people in it that you don't like, or the fact that it maybe makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, just please try to take a moment and think about the people that it does mean a lot to, and try for a moment to respect that, because it is something that has impacted a lot of the fans of the show. And that's why I do want to take a moment here and celebrate it.
Yeah, it was, I smile thinking about it, and Taryn, I smile when you talk about it. And I was like hearing what you were saying on the Q&A. It was just like so beautiful. And just that we have a chance to see this representation on our screens, like literally six by POC are in the final six on a show that hasn't catered to just our people in certain ways, hasn't progressed our people in certain ways. This hasn't been for our people in certain ways. And so in the small efforts that CBS like the big efforts that CBS has done, like the 50% or more, and also with showcasing like the DRs of Claire understanding basically the assignment and putting it very blatantly, I thought that was so beautiful. Cause I was like, I hope they don't try to censor this. And I know people who have all their different opinions. Oh, X, Y, and Z. Pay it dust, because this is such a beautiful moment just to sit in and just to gaze up at. And like, we are living in a culture right now that is emulated on a show that has never been for the people that's there right now. And it's so beautiful to see them take it by the balls. Not by the balls, but take it by the jugular or something like that. I'm just making more PC, and just to handle this so beautifully, even though they stressed me the hell out numerous times, but just to see them understanding the assignment and not faulting away from it, but also some not having the opportunity to fault away from it. It was just, amazing. And I want to echo all your points. And so I need to, that drink went down the wrong side of my throat and it really like screwed me up for a bit. But,
I hate when that happens.
I just wanted to go down one pipe and that's it. But yeah, it was such a beautiful moment and it makes me smile. And I love it.
Yes. All right. Well, this week on Big Brother here, the cookout is now going to turn on each other. And after Claire and Alyssa went home, Kylan won the HOH and he has decided to target Tiffany. He nominated Tiffany and Hannah. He then went on to also win the veto. He did not use the veto And as of right now, Tiffany is going to be the first person out of the cookout, which has certainly caused some frustration amongst fans, which I imagine would exist regardless. But I think it has been particularly magnified by the reasons she's being taken out and the way that people are talking about her in the house as they take her out. Kylan's primary reason for taking Tiffany out seems to be that he does not respect her game as much as Xavier's and wants to sit next to the best and doesn't think that she is the best. Xavier feels like she has not contributed enough to the cookout in comparison to him and that she made a selfish move and she lost the game when she won that HOH. Big D is Big D. And
literally,
Azza seems to not seems to at this point. Azza is fully committed to I'm fine with getting fourth place to the three men. And that is certainly causing all of these things and more causing some frustration in the fan base here, Melissa.
Yeah, it's genuinely infuriating, I'll say, because it's one thing if Tiffany's going to go out because or Hannah is going to go out even at this point. Like if Tiffany or Hannah, either one of them are being put up and one of them's going to go home because they're seen as huge threats, which they are. Like, I'm just going to say Tiffany and Hannah are the best people in the house right now. Like, they've been doing the most. They're the best players. Like, I'm the most impressed by them throughout the entire game. So if they were being taken out because of the fact that they are huge threats, I'd be totally fine with that. I mean, like, obviously, I don't want them both to go. I want them to go to the end. I'd love to see the two of them in the end together. But, like, okay, if they're being taken out because they're huge threats, so be it. They are huge threats. But the fact that they are taking them out because they think that they're not doing anything or they haven't contributed anything or because they've done no work to get the cookout to this point or what have you, that is beyond infuriating and just plain wrong. It's incorrect. It's a terrible read. It's just awful. And I think it's honestly, like, I do think it is because they are women. Like, I hate to have to say that, but, like, that's the truth. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. I mean, how can you look at this house and then look at Big D and be like, okay, this guy's been doing it all. This guy's it. Tiffany and Hannah, you've done nothing. Sorry, you're out. Like, that is crazy to me. Like, Big D has done literally nothing in the house. Kylan has done stuff that's just been terrible for his game, just crazy stuff all the time. So you can't even look at him and be like, yeah, but he's such a big threat. Xavier is like the only one who I guess could be seen as a big threat, but that's because apparently the guys only see guys as big threats. So they're going to think that he's a big threat. And, you know, he's a good player, but he's not the player. He did not create the cookout and do everything that there was to do for it. That was Tiffany. And we all seen it. We all know it was Tiffany. She got the cookout to this point. If it wasn't for Tiffany, I mean, literally, and I've said this multiple times on the podcast, there was a fork in the road and she could have picked the winning strategy to go with Derek X and Claire and forget the whole cookout thing. Or she could have picked the cookout and gotten the six of them to the end and probably lost the game. And she chose that other path. And that was to the benefit of all the other members of the cookout and to the detriment of her own game. And if she had not done that, I can guarantee you that Big D and Azza would already be out the door because they'd be an easy target to get out. They'd be like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Let's just get Big D out. Let's just get Azza out. They don't contribute anything and they're not aligned with anyone besides each other and Brittany. So who cares? And they would have absolutely have targeted Xavier and Kylan long ago. So, like, the only reason that all these people are together in the six is because of Tiffany. So it's very frustrating to see Tiffany be treated as if she's done nothing and in fact is a selfish player when really she chose the path that helped all of them and did not help her, which makes her the most selfless player out there. And I don't love to see her legacy being tarnished like this. And obviously I'm focusing on Tiffany because it does seem like Tiffany is going out. If Hannah was the one going out, I'd be talking about Hannah at this point in time because Hannah has done so much for the cookout and for everybody and for her own game. And she's so good. So it's very frustrating to me to watch this happen. And for the longest time, I was like, you know what? I am absolutely okay with like an Xavier win, maybe even a Kylan win, because they've honestly, they've done some good work. They are, you know, good competitors or whatever. But the fact that like this whole week has changed my opinion of that, I have to be honest. I do not want any of the people left in the house to win aside from Tiffany or Hannah. So like Azza, I did see her on an upward trajectory, but she's a total flop. She's done nothing and now she wants to be fourth place. So, okay, fine. Megaphone. She's out. She's like, literally it's embarrassing. And as much as I like Azza as a person, her as a game player is terrible. And then you've got Kylan who's like, oh, I want Xavier to win. I'm going to walk him to the end. Like, okay, I'm sorry, Kylan. I do not want you to win because I don't want somebody like that to win. So he's out. All right. Big D. Embarrassment. He's done nothing, first of all, the entire game. And now he's bad mouthing all the girls and being like, well, the girls are going to vote for the girls and da 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 da. Sexist. Okay. Then you've got Xavier over here. And he's been literally harping on this stupid Tiffany won the HOH thing for far too long. He needs to get over it. And at this point, like, I guess he's the only acceptable winner if you take out Hannah and Tiffany, but I don't want him to win because I hate the way he views women. So, like, I'm upset about that as well. I don't want any of them to win. At this point, if Tiffany's out, Hannah better win this game or else we have, like, a flop winner, I have to say.
Melissa. Literally, I kid you not, these guys have shown their narrow asses this entire week and weeks before this point. And I am not only disgusted, yes. I am annoyed, I am pissed off, I am infuriated, I am irritated, I am mad, I am angry, I am any negative attribute that you can associate as a synonym to those words that I just listed. I am literally, and I thought some of the guys at the beginning and towards the middle were endearing, but now I think they're, you know what I mean? But don't worry, I'm gonna stick a pin in Big D and Kylan and Xavier's behinds until we get to them for ratings because I got some to say to y'all.
Good.
It
just makes you feel like, oh, okay, to win Big Brother, you have to be a man. Like, that's literally what it makes me feel. And that infuriates me because that is not ever how I want to, like, see this game. Like, I always thought it was, like, an open playing field, but, like, it sucks that there weren't any female, like, winners for a long time, blah, blah, blah. But, like, it makes me so upset to see this because the way that they're talking about the women is, like, oh, well, I mean, imagine if Tiffany was a guy. They'd be like, biggest threat in the game. So huge. Oh, it's like, we got to get them out because they're such a big threat. Instead, they're just like, yeah, she's done nothing. Get her out. It like makes me very upset. It sickens me.
If I could high five you, if I could like body jump with you, if I could throw you in the air and watch and throw you in the air again. Literally, these are the points that I feel like a lot of people are feeling. And it's just rough. And it's just like really like it pisses me off to think about that one of these guys may win has a huge likelihood of winning the season unless we get a Hannah win out like a Kevin Martin did in season 5 of Big Brother Canada. And I just the people that have put the most I'm not. Taryn, what else we got?
I have seen a lot of responses as well along the lines of we've had to hear about racism all season long and now we have to hear about sexism. This is so annoying. Like, yeah, imagine being the people it actually affects.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so sweet.
Probably a bit more annoyed, actually.
Come on now. And I remember it was a question. Oh, do you think like, oh, the cookout, do you think they would all be like, oh, in a group chat together? And now I'm like, I wouldn't want to talk to Xavier's behind. I wouldn't want to talk to specifically from week 2 to week now. Big D's behind worth a damn. And so I don't think no group chat's going to be made. I don't think no Instagram invites may be sent out, but that's about it. You know what I mean? But shade is definitely going to be thrown postseason when people see how people have spoke about them as a player, when it's clearly receipts to match what they have done in this game. And for that to be diminished and for them to not receive the credit that they rightfully deserve just because of the sex that they are, it's purely disgusting. And we are like assuming, but we're assuming based off of the donkey behinds that these men have been this week and add addition to other weeks. And so it's period. Trust me, I was getting so amped up about this, watching feeds, seeing clips on Twitter, watching Taryn talk about it day in and day out, morning, noon, and night. And I'm just like, these people have the convictions in their voice, the authorities in their pinky, the bustery of their chest to say this with their entire being. I'm alarmed. And I'm concerned. And I'm not. All right. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes me. And I feel like another thing is it makes me respect Xavier's game less, because it makes it really clear that he didn't know what had been going on in the house.
Yeah.
And I feel like I thought he always knew. So I was always like, oh, okay, well, Xavier's just playing to like how the house is, and like this is his kind of thing, and he knows what's up, and that's why he's a good player, because he knows what's up, but he's also like staying kind of on the side of all the action, so that way like he can kind of just like straight shot it to the end. But he knows that Tiffany is putting in all this work on this end, and Hannah's doing all this on this end, and Big D's not doing anything. So I thought that he saw it all. Now that he's communicating what he thought was going on in the house, clearly he was totally not involved. He had no clue what was going on. And that really calls into question his ability as a game player, because you should be able to know what's going on, especially if you are in the alliance. Like, obviously, if you're on the outside of an alliance, like, and you have no clue what's going on, that's one thing. But if you're in the main alliance and you still have no idea what's going on, that's not a good sign. And it's one thing if you're telling Big D and Kyland and whoever this stuff about how Tiffany hasn't done anything and we really were the ones who started the cookout, like to try and make it seem like Tiffany's not a good player or something, like, and then tell the camera or whatever, or make some sort of indication that you know that the stuff that you're like talking about with these other people is not accurate. But he's not doing that. So there's no indication that this is all a ruse or anything like that. Like, this seems that he legit thinks that Tiffany didn't have any part in this whole strategy or anything, or his, or him being at this point in the game. Like, it literally just boiled down to Tiffany's choice to go with the cookout and then Kylan's HOH win here. Like, if anyone else had won, like, who knows what would have happened, but it had nothing to do with Xavier being some amazing strategist and Big D creating the cookout. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know where they're getting that from.
And I have one more point to this. After my raging, the women of this alliance, the Black women of this alliance, and I would throw in Kylan, sprinkle him in if you really want to be generous, have been the backbone for the cookout. Taryn made that perfect analogy of Tiffany outside building the house, building the church, building the schools, building the mayor's office, building X, Y, and Z. Like, a lot of times how Black women are the backbones of society, and for that to just be diminished, and pride and ego are two things that men suffer with so deeply, and we need therapy for it, loves. So that's just my last comment, because we're going to get into some things later, but that's my comment for right now regarding that.
Yeah, this has become a big topic, you know, the amount that each member has contributed to the cookout. So I really tried to lay it out here so that we could talk about it here on the roundtable. And it is something, and Melissa, you make a great point, which is that, you know, I came into the game, I had high expectations for Xavier. I really liked him. I thought he was very funny in the diary room. I loved when he talked to the cameras. I was very excited about his potential. But he was playing pretty non-actively. He was really lying low, didn't seem to be up on a lot of information. And I was skeptical about him because of that. As the season progressed, he continued to not be very active, And it came to a point where I was like, I don't know if I have a lot of faith in this guy to be able to, without the aid of the cookout, hold his own in a game. Now he is confirming everything that that I had assumed. And there is nothing more that I would love than for Xavier, and I've said this so many times, to come out and say, I know exactly what I'm doing here. I know that Tiffany carried this alliance on her back. And I know that I was just chilling, being carried, because guess what? That was what was best for me, because I was in the, you know, thing about the cookout, it benefits me the most because it has the people in it that love me the most. And I'm one of the better competition threats in this group of people. And so if other people want to sacrifice and do a bunch of work to get me there, I'm just going to sit back and let it happen. And then when we get there, I'm going to turn it on and I'm going to win this game. And, you know, maybe it's not the super impressive game I would have loved to play. It's not the Dr. Will game that I would have loved to play, but here I am and I'm playing it. If he would say that, it would make me so happy. You don't understand how happy it would make me, because I want a winner to have played a good game. I want a winner to understand the game that they played. I mean, if you've watched me podcast about any season of anything, you know that about me. I don't want him to be a bad player. He just keeps screaming it at me. And I'm like, stop.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, if he was just saying certain things and doing certain things because he was trying to convince other people of these things, then that's one thing. But he's not telling us in private, like either DRs or in rooms with just a camera, that like he knows what's going on. He's not like revealing anything to us that he is not saying to anyone else in the house. And that's the frustrating thing, is because he's just wrong in his assessment. And if he was saying that stuff, even like knowing that it's not true, then that's one thing. And I can get behind that, but I can't get behind a winner who has literally no idea what's been happening in the house. That's not something I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. And like, I also agree with Taylor. I do want those moments where they can like have an honest moment with the camera saying, hey, like I'm projecting this for strategy purposes. I do think as though Tiffany has, you know, given her due diligence, her due credit, her and Hannah, they're just due credit with this alliance. But one thing that makes me so irate is them like thinking the thing that we were just talking about, but also making lies to make their delusion makes sense. It's like, oh, let me pull this out my behind to make this make sense. It's like, no, all of it doesn't make sense. It probably makes sense to your delusional mind, but it doesn't make sense to the listeners that you're projecting this out to. When Kylan was sitting on that HOH dining room table eating his crackers and cheese or whatever the heck he was eating and saying, oh, I just wish Tiffany would never lie to me. Like, you don't have to, like, don't make up these, like, convoluted things just to make your point seem more valid. You were up there cuddling, kissing her cheek, do-do-da-da-da. If you had an issue with that, Kylan, and I'm looking at you right in the eye, Kylan, if you had an issue with that, it was literally ample opportunity for you to, like, but just don't be fake with me. Don't be fake with us. You know what I mean? We ain't in the house. We haven't had a wall yeller, and thank God we haven't. But like, don't lie to us. I don't want to feel played by you, and I feel played and I feel misled, but we see the truth.
And that's been a complaint for many seasons now, is don't lie to the audience. Like, we don't like that. We are not convinced, we're not snowed by you telling us that this is the way it is, when we're seeing what the way it actually is on the live feeds. And then they come out of the house and they're like, well, you know, live feeds don't show you everything. It's like, yes, but we're seeing the majority of things, and we know what you're telling us is not true. It's frustrating when they go in the diary room and try and make themselves look better or whatever, or try and convince us of some sort of alternate reality that makes it better for them. Like, I don't know. It's just frustrating. It's like, just be honest with us. We would root for a villain who like lets us in on the secret. We would root for that. And that they just think like, instead they'll just convince us that they're the hero, and that's not going to happen.
Yes. So, you know, in talking about the cookout and how they got here, I was trying to, you know, so list out like the contributions, what got the cookout to this point, right? Tiffany's contributions in the very early portion of the game, she uncovered Slaughterhouse. She helped dismantle it. She created a new structure. She pushed for Royal Flush. She put targets on Frenchie, Brent, and Whitney. She made them house targets. She pulled in Derek X. She pulled in Claire. She pulled in Sarah Beth in Jackpot. She even pulled in Brittany for a time in Kingslayers. Azza, of course, as part of the cookout. She also was in with Christian and Alyssa. She had a lot of different alliances, a lot of people who considered her to be a close ally. She had a lot of influence in the house. That's how she was able to put those targets on people's backs and create the structure that she did. She had then included, she's the one that pulled Hannah into the cookout and eventually pulled her in even closer. She was easily the most active player throughout this entire period. There's no player that she made a connection to that was reliant on somebody in the cookout bringing that person to her. Not a single person. She made her own connections. And people forget that Christian and Alyssa, while they were in the game, were more Tiffany's people than Xavier's. They were more loyal to Tiffany and Claire and wanted to bring Tiffany and Claire to the end than they were to Xavier. That's why it would have been great for her game if she had been able to keep Christian around, right? She comes up with the cookout master plan. She exposes Kylan and Sarah Beth, puts a target on their backs, which is the pair structure, right? She creates this plan. But she doesn't just create it. She actively makes it happen. Kylan and Sarah Beth. She pulls in Hannah. She tells Hannah, you need to get close to Derek X and make it public. She tells Derek X, Hannah really likes you. I think you should be close with her. I think we need to pull her in. And she makes that. She is Bong Joon-ho at the Oscars, like making the Oscars kiss, making a pair there. She her biggest failure, in my opinion, in the game was when Kylan outmaneuvers her with Derek X's HOH, and gets Derek X to go after Christian instead. She still could have flipped that vote, but she did not because she didn't want to go against the cookout. So she let Christian go. She then, helped protect Xavier from Derek X a few times. Derek X really wanted to go after Xavier. She told Derek X, nah, Xavier's cool. You should hang out with him. You should try to make a deal with him. Derek X tried multiple times. Xavier wasn't super into it. And so Tiffany had to do more work. She also had to protect Xavier from Claire during Claire's Coin of Destiny reign. She also won an HOH and literally took out her own ally, which was her fault. Yes, but she made that choice when she could have made another one. And her contributions to the cookout, like she is the primary reason. The other person who is the primary reason is Kylan. Kylan helped her expose and dismantle Slaughterhouse. He helped also create Royal Flush. He is the one that convinced Derek X to take out Christian, who was the biggest threat to the cookout at that time. Kylan is the only person to truly like outmaneuver Tiffany throughout the game. She also, of course, outmaneuvers him at various points when she exposes him in Sarah Beth. She really puts his social game in the tank for a while. But they have a back and forth throughout the game. Kylan, a very good player who's making a very dumb decision for who he wants to bring to the end. But Kylan was also very powerful throughout the game and also very essential to the cookout success. He wins HOH. He takes out Brittany. He also protects Xavier from Sarah Beth when Sarah Beth wanted to go after Xavier and Alyssa and instead got Sarah Beth to go after Derek X, who was the next biggest threat to the cookout at that point. Kylan, serious contributions there. Xavier's contributions. He won that week to HOH and took out Brent. He then went during Christian's HOH, and I've talked about this before. He didn't want Azza or Big D up next to Whitney. So he worked very hard. He spent an hour convincing Christian to put Hannah up on the block instead. The second he succeeds, Christian goes, yeah, Alyssa, we were thinking of putting up Hannah. And Alyssa's like, oh, well, we should just target Hannah. Oh yeah, that's right. And then Sarah Beth came in and was like, yes, we should do this. I think this is a great idea. And then he spent days trying to take it back and couldn't. He works and works and works. He's unable to flip Christian and Alyssa back because Sarah Beth is always able to undo any progress that he makes. He tries giving Hannah talking points to help convince them His talking points don't work. You know who's due? Kylan's. And Hannah does the work herself. She gets herself out of trouble. But while she's doing that, Xavier has given up almost. He says to Tiffany, we may have to cut our losses at this point. We might have to have that conversation. And then Hannah goes and saves herself. He contributed to the cookout by, with Tiffany, choosing to not flip the vote to save Christian. The biggest thing that people like to point to with Xavier is that he had that mediation session between Azza and Tiffany. I don't think they remember when this happened. It was long after their arguments had very little to do with them sticking together. As soon as Tiffany committed to the master plan, she was all in. She never wavered from that in a serious way, nor did Azza. When there were people that wavered, like Big D, Azza is the one that got Big D back on board. Xavier never had a conversation with somebody who was like, I can't do the cookout anymore. And he was like, no, you have to stay in it. Xavier never had that conversation. Kylan had that conversation. Tiffany's had that conversation. Azza's had that conversation. Xavier hasn't. Calling him the reason they stuck together is pretty ridiculous, in my opinion. And even Hannah. Hannah contributed, of course. She saves herself from the Christian's HOA train. She helps sink Derek X to the detriment of her own game, sent Derek X home by convincing him not to play in the roulette. She helped sink Claire with the Coin of Destiny plan. She won that double eviction, the final one, and sent Alyssa out. She has some contributions to her name. Azza, even, I would say, you know, she was in with Brittany. She helped convince people that she was not with the rest of the cookout. She bonded with people. She played her role decently well. And then, you know, Big D, genuinely, he got really mad at Tiffany, and that was a very good cover for the cookout. But mostly just claimed to run the game. He didn't really contribute a whole lot outside of that beyond his relationship with Brittany. But there you go. Like, those are the contributions to the cookout, right? It's my perspective of somebody who has notes on every single day. And that does not mean that I'm right. It does not mean that I know more than anybody else, but to the best of my knowledge. And again, I would love to credit people who are more likely to win as much as possible. But that's what it is. I can only say what I have and what it is. And that's, mm-hmm. that's what it is. And that's why we talk about, Tiffany contributing so much to the cookout. Now when it comes to the actual cookout game in the final six, Xavier has done the best there. I mean, that is inarguable. When people say, oh, Tiffany contributed the most, that's absurd. She's not the best player. Why is she getting evicted then? Those are two separate things. Xavier is doing better than Tiffany right now. Tiffany has made plenty of mistakes, especially when it comes to her position in the cookout. She's been outplayed by Kylan a few times. She screwed herself more than a few times, especially when it comes to her relationship with Azza, with Big D, with Kylan, with Xavier. A lot of people. She has made those mistakes. She is certainly nowhere near a perfect player. But in terms of contributions to the cookout, the things that Xavier can't even see, that's what we're talking about. And that's where I'll stop talking finally.
Yeah. And I will say that I do think, as much as we say, like, well, the edit is not ideal and all that sort of stuff, I do think that at least some of the casual fans are picking up on, what's actually going on or been going on in the house. Or at least I know that when I talked to my mom, she compared all of this to the story of the little red hen, where the little red hen goes and does all the work and gathers all the ingredients and bakes the cake and all that. And then like the guys all want to come and eat the cake. And that's like with Tiffany and the guys. And she said that on her own, basically. And I just texted her. I asked her, what are your thoughts? Like, quickly, what are your thoughts on X and Big D and Kylan? And she said, big no on X. So she's not happy with him. Apparently, like the edit, as much as we want to sit there and be like, well, they're trying to make him a hero and Tiffany a villain. Like, I think the audience is seeing through that. I think especially when he kept getting all upset with Tiffany for winning HOH, I don't think that played well. So yeah, she's not a huge fan of his. And I think that they're seeing that Tiffany is, you know, doing all the work here.
No, I would hope that, just the viewers on CBS, you know, when it comes on 3 days a week would see that. I tell you, I think that breakdown was literally amazing. And definitely highlighted and just like put everyone's game in an accurate perspective to everyone. I feel like you took the words out of my mouth better than I could have ever said. So yeah.
Well, and really, like, this is also an explanation for why I'm so frustrated with Kylan, because, you know, despite my issue with some of the things that he's done and said, he has genuinely played a very interesting game, and he is so very effective when he finds the right groove. And sometimes he's not in the right groove and it's just wildly ineffective. But when he finds it, he nails it. And I think that Kylan winning this game would be, in terms of gameplay, very fitting for the season, because he did contribute a lot to the cookout success. He did sacrifice a decent amount of his own game to get there. And he has outmaneuvered Tiffany at different stages in the game. You know, they've gone tit for tat at times. And I think that that is a really, interesting way to end the season with him winning. But then he comes out with this absolutely absurd notion of beating the best. And now the thing for me is that even if he does beat Xavier, I cannot respect the fact that he took such a ridiculous risk to do it. And I will still give him credit, because if he wins against Xavier, if he wins this game in general, he still has played a good game. And, you know, I'll give him that. But man, is it just like, why are you doing this? He's literally like the meme of the person on the bike who sticks the thing in the wheel and falls over. And they're just like, ah, Xavier, why did you do this to me? Like,
I haven't seen that.
Why?
I can only imagine what that meme looks like, but I completely agree. Because he has made logical moves and has played a good game, in my opinion. And just this notion of, if you want to beat the best, you got to beat the best. I want to beat the best. Isn't beating the best taking someone out on your HOH? You're beating them. You're beating them. You put them up. You outgame them. You outmaneuvered them. You put them up. You outsavvy them. Any attributes that you want to out them on, you did it. You can give you your flowers, give you your crown. You beat Xavier if you got him out this week. Woohoo. Yay. Woo. Ta-ba-bold. And it's just like, we're not getting that. We're getting, I want to sit at the end with him to make my chance of getting
$7,500,000.
Yeah, $7,500,000. Three quarters of $1 million. That's a easier way to say it. $75,000. Okay. Okay. Yes. The grand prize. And it's, yeah.
I mean, it's like, have you heard the, there's like, what do they call it? Like, a saying, a joke, maybe, like, this thing about like a person, there's a big flood. They're sitting at the top of their house, and they're praying to God to help save their lives. And there's a raft that comes by and they're like, come on, come, we'll save you. And they said, no, God will save me. And then, a boat comes by. They're like, come on, you gotta get up. And no, God will save. A helicopter comes by. This is your last chance, dude. You gotta come. You know, God will save you. And then he drowns and he goes to heaven and he's like, dude, why didn't you save me? And God's like, I sent you a raft, a boat, and a helicopter. Yeah. Why didn't you take any of them? Like, I feel like that is Kylan. Like, no. I got, in order to be the best, I got to beat the best.
That's exactly what it is.
No. I got, yeah. In order to be the best, I got to beat the best.
No, you don't understand.
You could have beaten him. You could have taken him out this week.
Kylan is, his logic is just so beyond awful. Just also a quick update. Basically, my mom says, I asked her about each of the people. She said, Big D is nice and supportive, but he's not a game player. Kylan's playing both sides, so I don't trust him. And then Tiffany rocks in all caps. And then my grandpa, she's on the phone with my grandpa right now. He watches Big Brother. And he said, please save Tiffany and Hannah.
Yay.
And they both want Tiffany to win. So, I mean, that's not going to happen probably at this point. But, you know, it is interesting to see that these casual fans, you know, this is what they're thinking and this is what they're seeing. Because I honestly thought that the casual audience was not getting a good edit of Tiffany. Also, I just told her to ask him who he wants to win America's Favorite Player. And she was like, he doesn't know. He says Julie Chen. So I don't think he knows quite the answer to that one. But they both want Tiffany to win. I just think it's funny.
I really want Tiffany to receive her flowers. Like, I wish it was like people mm-hmm. giving her more credit, but like, she's played like an amazing game. And in my opinion, has been the star of this season, based off her edit, not based off her for edit, but as a true person that has watched, you know, day in and sometimes day out, and just to seeing the gameplay that she's provided, to see the entertainment that she's provided, to see the amazing confessionals with Shut the Up, Kylan, that she's provided as well. Like, the Twitter memes, just everything. Like, I just want her to get her grandiose and get her applause. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's the first portion of this podcast. are we ready to move on to the stock watch ratings?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. We've got some ratings, right here. Here we go. We're going to bring them up. Like this? Nope. Like this?
You wanted yourself to be the main screen for like 10 seconds. You're like, like this? I see my new haircut.
Yeah. Oopsies. I'll just leave it up for a little longer. Did everyone get a good look?
Everyone see me?
All right. You know what? You know what?
Oh, goodness. What a big...
No, that didn't work.
See my shoulders? Oh, my gosh.
Nobody gets a screen now.
No. We're hidden.
Oh man.
All right. Are we typically on that side?
Look, I don't know how to
does know. He switches it around. He likes to play around. He likes to be a little creative on the podcast.
To play around.
Exercising creative discretion.
Quick behind the scenes insight here. So I'm using OBS to capture the Stockwatch ratings rather than a screen share. So I'm actually I'm double dipping in a different browser in the thing. So this is actually a user and not a screen share, which is why it's particularly difficult, why we're on the right instead of the left.
That's so hot, Taryn. Yes.
Is very that much reaction that was the response to that.
Talk more technology to us.
Tara's like, that's exactly what I was hoping you'd say.
You know, my hands. Okay, let's get to it.
Oh my God.
All right, let's talk. Let's talk through. This is the portion of the podcast where we rate each player from 1 to 10 based on how well they're doing this week, how good their long-term prospects in the game are looking, and how safe they are in the short term. And let's get into it. I asked the audience to rate the players as well. You can still get in there if you are quick. You can find the survey at Armstrong Taren on Twitter and fill it out if you want. But we are going to start here with Azza and Jacob Jones.
No, I don't want to do Azza first. No. Okay, no, I don't want to do Azza first. I don't want to do Azza first. I don't want to do Azza first. I don't want to do Azza first.
Melissa Denny.
Please, Melissa.
I'll do Azza first.
Okay, perfect.
I think I'll give Azza... You know, I'm just going to be probably like a little cruel in my ratings today. I just have to say I'm like kind of in a mood. I think I'm going to give Azza... I think I'm going to give Azza a 3. Mm. Mm-hmm. Because she's fine with getting fourth place. She had an opportunity this week to figure out something to try and save, or at least try to save one of the girls, and then that, or like get one of the girls off the block possibly, and then work with the girls to the end. It doesn't seem like she cares to do that or really cares at all about what's going on in the house. She doesn't really seem to care about winning and kind of is just there. So I'm really disappointed in her this week. I have to be honest. I've been on the Azza train or at least boarding the Azza train the past few weeks. And I feel like I don't know. I need to get off because it is not happening for me. I'm very disappointed in her game. And I felt like we were going to see her kick it into high gear now that it was like in the six. But she's really not. And if anything, she's like taking her foot completely off the gas. So yeah, disappointed in her. And this rating is not good for my stocks because I've decided to stick with her thinking that she would, really punch it up this week. And she did not. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, Azza. quotes from Azza this week have been, I am okay, Big D, if you cut me at 3. I am okay, Big D, if I get cut at 4. I am okay, Big D, if I go up on the block next
week.
There's zero drive to win the game here.
Exactly.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that she can't. there's still one scenario, this scenario where, she wins her way to the final three. She still would take Big D. That is the one thing we have that she would, I think, pick Big D over Xavier or Kyland or anyone else. And that gives her the best and probably only chance of winning. We talked for ages about, the players that have gotten to the end and have just been like, it's fine. And this is probably the worst example we've ever seen of that. Azza gets a 2 from me, and she's lucky it's not a 1 because it would be a 1 if she planned to take anybody other than Big D to the final 2. The fact that she does plan to take Big D to the final 2 gives me the smallest amount of hope that maybe she could win this game. Otherwise it is just, it's a 2 here. Jake Jones.
Okay. So I have been disappointed in just Azza's outlook on the game this week. And kind of last week as well. But I feel like I have a lot of unpopular opinions on Azza's gameplay and highlighting certain things that I think she's done well, but also not really getting the gravity of things that she has done horrible. And the place that she has done horrible is at agreeing to be like, hey, I would be a 4th or 3rd. I'm good at it. Like, you know, I prayed about it. I know I'm not winning this game. And I'm just like, no, I want to see you fight. So that's like really... ding, 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 ding. Jacob is in the back of my mind like, hey, this is a big thing. She's not willing to fight to get to that number one spot that she needs to be at as a Big Brother player. And as a player that really advertised in her preseason interviews, like, oh, I'm ready to take up the big threats. I'm ready to really do rah, 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 ta, ta. I'm ready to do it all. But then it's just certain thing in my mind
So she wants to go to the end with Big D, Xavier, throw Kylan in there. She's not the biggest fan of Kylan, but yeah, but. And I see that, and I see that as not being the best thing for her. The only person I think she can win against possibly is Big D, and you pointed that out, Taryn. And so I don't think she's completely like naive and to think, oh, let me go to the end with Big D and Xavier. Going to Xavier is a crime sentence, prison sentence, jail for life. Going with Big D, you have a fighting chance, but will she fight at that end point? I don't even know, but it's still like I still want to give her a little bit of something where the women in the Cookout Alliance didn't nurture their relationship with Azza as best as they could have, and the guys Big D and Xavier really did. So for me to think, oh, she's going to side with them in this, it isn't for me something that's so preposterous in the realm of Azza. It's because they have given her reasons, and I feel as though they have given her reasons to trust them a little bit more than the women have. And even though Big D has said, yo, you know, I'm dropping you at X, Y, and Z, you know, I'm taking, you know, Kylan and Xavier, it's still like these people have been pouring into me, having given me information. And so why would I turn a blind eye to them now? So that's like a bit of something that I want to give to Azza. But she has no, like, her fighting chance of winning is only with Big D. And it's just no fight there. It's all of that. And so if she wants to go to the end with that train, I want to give her credit there. And so I'm going to end up giving Azza a 3 with Melissa as well, because it's just that point of her, the fight of a Big Brother contestant that we want, and that, like, you're in this house fighting for 3/4 of $1 million. And like, you are willing to throw that away just for not trying. Like, you can make moves in this game, and you have, like, I feel like Azza is a people's person. Her social game has been like the forefront. I mean, her social game has been the only game that she has navigated through this game. If we want to kind of give her that credit there. But yeah.
All right. Well, the audience, a little bit higher on Azza than us. They gave her a 4. This week, gave her a 4 this week. Still down from the 5 last week, but just a bit higher here. It was close. It was almost a 3, but it was in fact a 4 here for Azza.
Do you have the percentage? Like, 3.xyz or 4.xyz?
3.66.
Oh damn! Oh nice. So you have that breakdown?
I have the number. Yeah.
Oh nice. Okay.
There you go. Okay, so Big D is up next. Let's talk about Big D. And man, let me tell you how much I want to give Big D a 1.
Mm-hmm.
How much I want it. But I'm going to explain to you why I'm not giving him the 1. I'm not giving him the 1 because I don't think he is a good enough player to achieve what he wants. Because what he wants is to get rid of the only person in the game that he can beat at the end. He wants to cut Azza. He wants to genuinely go to the final 3 with 2 people he cannot beat, and that may not even take him to the final 2. And if he was half the player he thought he was, he would probably be able to make that happen, right? And then he would be drawing dead, and I'd give him a 1. But he's so bad at the game that I do not think he can make that happen for sure. And so if he fails at his goal, and Azza sneaks her way into the final 3, and maybe Hannah manages to cut Xavier, and then Azza cuts Kylan, and then they get rid of then you know, Big D and Azza and Hannah are in the final 3, and Big D wins and takes Azza. It's possible he wins there. It's still not impossible that he doesn't win this game, but everything would have to go wrong for what he wants in order for things to go right for his game. So I'm gonna give him a 2. I don't want to because he should be a one, but he can win the game. And so I can't give him a one. And so it's a two, but, if Hannah leaves next week or if Azza leaves next week, I feel like at that point it's, if Azza leaves in the double or it looks like Azza's leaving at four, then he is for sure a one at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll give you the audience rating. The audience gave him a three, a little bit higher. Jacob, what do you think?
So Big D. Derek F. The delusion of this man. This like has not done a single damn thing in this game besides build a relationship with Brittany and has this convoluted thought process of being a top contender to win. How? Where is this? When is this going to happen? I want to see him. Even if I want to let his legs touch that final two chairs, I just want to see the thought process that can come out of his mouth when communicating what you have done in this game. And he has done nothing. He doesn't even want to take the only person that he has a fighting chance to win against in the final two, which is Oz. And I feel like that's a big component. He wants to go to the end with Kylan and Xavier. Why? Where in your mind does that equate to you winning the money? It doesn't.
Literally because they're men. He said so.
And I just feel like, and with Big D, I feel like the same people who Big D bitches and complains about are the same people who literally took his ass out of that day bed, put his ass on their back and carry him to final six. He has no appreciation, nor respect for them. And it's just quite frankly disgusting. He has 10% chance of winning. And well, if Azza's there, more, but he doesn't want to get there with Azza. So in that process of me going with Azza and Big D, is likely to make it to final three, but likelihood of winning between the two of the people who he wants to make it to final three with is a 0% chance. So for me, Big D gets a two for ratings. Rankings, whatever the term is.
Rating.
Yeah.
Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah. God. Big D gets, I feel like I want to give him lower, but I do feel like, to me, he has the same chance of winning. Well, I think it's more that like Azza has less of a chance of getting to the end, but more of a chance of winning than Big D. But Big D has more of a chance of getting to the end, but less of a chance of winning than Azza. So I do think that they need to be on the same rating. So I am going to give Big D a three, but it's very reluctantly and not because I think he is playing at a three level.
All right. Big D makes the three overall. Let's talk about Hannah. The audience gave Hannah a six this week. Big numbers here for the audience. Jacob, how do you feel about a six for Hannah?
So I don't feel that is too crazy. I generally don't. I think we've seen it happen in Big Brother history where a contestant has to win out to make it to the end. Hannah, after Tiffany is leaving, like she's going on the block every chance they get. If she doesn't win HOH, she needs to win POV to save herself. But if she makes it to the end, that continuously builds her story arc of the player that she has become throughout this entire season of Big Brother 23. And so I do think her chance of making it to the end is a hard road for Hannah. It's such a hard road for her. Like competition after competition, she has to win. And I don't even think there's any social game left for it necessarily for Hannah to play because these three guys want to go together. Azza is with the three guys and there's really no room for manipulation that Hannah in my mind has other than let me run to this rope, swing to this thing, answer this question right and comp out. And so for that, like, it's such a hard road for her to get there. But if she gets there, Taryn and Melissa, she's going to talk with her chest busted and she's going to talk with her pinky in their face and talk her ish. And it's going to be so beautiful. She has like the story arc of Hannah and Tiffany leaving is so beautiful. And I really want this for But it's just such a hard road. And we have Xavier, who's really good at comps. We have Kylan, who's really good at comps, still in the game. And so the likelihood of that goes down in my eyes a little bit. And so it's just like, So my rating for Hannah is a 5.
Yeah, it's rough here for Hannah.
Yeah.
I actually think she's not playing this week terribly. I do think she made a mistake in putting Kylan on the block in her HOH in the double eviction. I also think that she is, at the end of the day here, she is sort of, she's paying for mistakes that she made in the past, which is that she was not aggressive enough in her alliance making within the cookout. She had the idea that she should be doing it, but she held back a bit, and instead Kylan got in there and made deals. And she is finding herself left out of this. If she doesn't win HOH or veto in this upcoming double eviction, she will be going home. Theoretically could go home even before the double eviction, but that's looking pretty set in stone at this point. If she does win the HOH or veto in the double eviction, if she doesn't win the following HOH or veto, she is almost definitely going home. If she makes it to the final three, there's not a single person apart from, if a very specific layout that would take her to the final two. I think Kylan might if it's between her and Azza, and Azza might if it's between her and Kylan, which is the final three she is going for. But apart from that specific final three, I don't think there's any other configuration of people where anybody takes her to the end. Mm-hmm. I think Kylan would take Big D over her, Xavier over her. I think that Big D would take anybody over her. And Xavier would take anybody over her, except for maybe Kylan, but who really knows? Probably he would take Kylan, to be honest. It's a really tough road here for Hannah to get to the end. It is not looking good. I don't hate the way that she's playing right now. I like that she is making some inroads with Kylan and Xavier. They are believing her when she says she's not coming for them. But also Tiffany has convinced them that now she is. So that work has been a bit undone. So for me, it's got to be a 4. It's really not looking good for Hannah here as we move toward this end game. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and it's so hard to do this rating because it's not because of Hannah's gameplay. Like, I feel like it's like, I think that Hannah is a really good player, and I think she can talk her way out of a lot of situations if the people that she's playing with are good game players and are like thinking for themselves and are receptive to, you know, new ways that they can make it to the end or like trying to position themselves in the best way possible. Instead, she's playing with a bunch of people who just want to give the win to each other and don't want to play for themselves or do anything. So it is really hard to convince people, that you are good for their game and that it's smart to take you along if they just don't care about what's good for their game and they just want to make it to the end with a bunch of guys. So it's very hard because I don't want to give Hannah this rating because I do think that she, her and Tiffany are the best players that are remaining, but like, I just don't see a way that she gets to the end unless she wins out, because even if like, it doesn't matter that she should be taken further or that she, it's a good game move for other people to take her farther or that she can convince them to take her farther because they're just not open to it. So anything that she does aside from winning competitions will not matter, unfortunately. I do have to give Hannah a 4 as well. And that's very, very, very reluctantly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to Kylan, our HOH. Jacob Jones, how do you feel about Kylan?
I feel disgusted with Kylan. And this score is not in any reflection of how I feel about him personally. It's only how I think his chances of winning are. And it's really sad that I can even... Kylan has played strictly a good game. he's made moves in this game to talk his ish when he gets to the Final Four very confidently. But he wants to take the best player in his eyes to the end, which in his eyes is Xavier, which I think it will be a little tussle, but Xavier has that edge over him with half of the jury already, more than half of the jury already thinking that Xavier's playing the best game and that people saying, yo, you cannot sit by Xavier in the end. And that equating to Kylan's mind as, oh, I have to sit next to the end because for one, I want to come back for a second season. For two, I want to beat the best. You got to beat the best. And it doesn't make sense in my eyes. Kylan can make it to Final Three easily if Hannah or Azza don't win during the double eviction or if Azza doesn't win. And Kylan is good at comps. So it's still that, like, he has a good chance of making it to the end. He has a good chance of winning. And for me, only him and Xavier really are like rubbing against each other with that really chance of having the crown on this game. And so with that, I like, oh my goodness, I'm going in between a 6 or a 7 with him, but I don't want to give him one more point more than Hannah because I think his gameplay is like 2 more points over Hannah because Hannah has such a hard road and Kylan has a much more easier road to pay to get there. And so I end up giving Kylan a 7.
A 7 from Jacob Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. Melissa, what do you think?
I want to know what the audience said.
Okay. The audience gave Kylan a 6.
Mm. Okay.
6 for Kylan. Same as Hannah. Just a smidge over Hannah.
Mm.
I think that Kylan's making a bad move this week, the wrong move this week. I think that he's making the wrong move generally. Like, considering that he wants to go to the end with X. I do think that if X and Kylan are in the end together, I do think X gets the win. So if Kylan, you know, and Kylan is good at competition. So I do think that, like, he could make that happen, him and X in the end, if he wanted to. Like, I think that that's not so out of the realm of possibility. Like, oh, that's never going to happen. I do think that that could happen. And if that does happen, then I think that Kylan is not going to win this game. So, I think Kylan is, I used to think Kylan was a good player, a smart player. I now think Kylan is a bad player. And therefore, I'm going to reluctantly give Kylan a 5.
A 5 from Melissa. That's interesting because I think I'm going to say different things, but come to the same results here. I do think that Kylan is... I think he's a good player. I think he can be a good player. I think that his ego gets in the way. If Kylan played this week the exact same way he played this week, except for saying to us that he wants to go to the end with Xavier, I would give him probably an 8, even a 9. Like, I'd be pretty impressed. I don't hate the move to take Tiffany out. I don't think it's the optimal move necessarily, but I don't hate it at all. And the way that he has been able to really convince Xavier to bring him as far as Xavier seems to be willing to is impressive stuff. The way that he has gotten Azza to stop coming after him and instead go after Hannah, who wants her in the end, that's impressive stuff because Azza hates Kylan. Was not inclined to do that, which is, you know, it's very rare that somebody has gotten Azza to do something, you know, for them when she didn't already have a middle school crush on them. And so that's impressive from Kylan.
Shut up.
And he's taking Tiffany out in a spot where she genuinely seems to be, and this could change, but seems to be willing to still campaign for him on the jury. As long as he's not sitting there with X, and that is a huge win for him. If he gave me any indication that he was like, I'm just playing, guys. Of course, I'm not going to take Xavier to the final two. I'd be like, ooh, the heavens have opened. Kylan is our front runner. Look at this guy. But how in the world am I supposed to give him a good rating when his end game is in shambles? Like bringing Xavier as far as he plans to bring him is so bad for him, because not only could he lose to Xavier, and I don't think he guaranteed loses to Xavier. I've said this many times, but I think it's possible he beats Xavier. I don't think it's particularly likely, but juries are very difficult to predict, and you never really know. For as much as people have been pumping Xavier's game up in the house, people like Claire and Hannah, two of the biggest proponents of that storyline, have also secretly had conversations that were like, yeah, we know Xavier actually hasn't done that much. It's mostly that he's been in a good position. Whereas they understand that Kylan has done a lot. And that could hold some weight, especially if Tiffany, you know, right now she's saying, if I would vote for Kylan unless he brings Xavier, because why are you that dumb? But with a few weeks to sit on it and, you know, Kylan sitting there, she may still be like, you know what, Kylan still is the better player, so I'm going to give it to Kylan. It's not impossible. No. But again, why take the risk? And his odds of getting there are much lower, because first of all, does Xavier really take Kylan? It's pretty amazing that Kylan has been able to get Xavier to bring him to the final three to begin with. But would Xavier really pick Kylan over Big D? I really doubt it. It's possible, but I doubt it. And he's putting himself in a spot where now he needs to beat Xavier in the final three in order to lose to Xavier in the final two, which is bad. And then you also have a situation where it's like, okay, now it's final four. If Xavier wins that veto and you are not HOH, is he really going to take the risk of bringing you to final three? Or is he going to be like, maybe I'd rather compete against Azza? Or maybe Azza is safe. Is he going to evict you at four over? Is he going to evict Big D at four over you? Probably not. And now you're competing against Xavier instead of somebody easier to beat in that final four competition. And just like so on and so forth. Right. So I don't like this path, but he has done impressive work, but he still can win this game. But I can't give him a great rating. It's got to be a five. And to complete the, you know, the 7-5, 7-5, 7-5. I'm sure. I think that's what's happened. Yeah. So look at this Kylan. Look at Kylan.
It's every time he's in power, he goes to a
5-7, 5-7.
Oh my God.
Well, Jacob messed this one up, but.
Yeah, you messed
it up. Am I the villain? I'm not the villain, am I?
Jacob,
you're the
villain
of this podcast. Yeah, you're the baddie of this podcast.
Oh, I've been called a baddie before. Tara, did you stick your tongue out? That was such a baddie move. That was such a baddie move.
The baddie brought it out in me.
Tara's having a hot boy summer, baby.
Yeah. Did you notice that the chat's been calling him Taddy?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, we didn't need to bring that up.
I mean, we did. Tara's a
daddy.
Okay.
All right. Well. Tara knows that. Me and Tara were talking about this. He knows he loves it. So keep it coming.
Yeah,
the conversation we had was actually, Jacob, I don't. But thank you. Tiffany, let's talk about Tiffany. Tiffany here on the block, looking very much like she is going to go home this week. Melissa, we'll start with you. What is your rating for Tiffany?
It's so sad because I don't think that she's playing this week terribly. Like, I think, like, if she's on the block with people and there are people in the house who, like, even like are considering options or anything like that, like, I do feel like she's making good arguments, she's doing the best she can, but it's just like talking to a wall, which is really unfortunate. I absolutely love Tiffany. I think she's one of the best players to play the game, and now I guess one of the best players to never win. And I just love her so much. We were lucky to have her on this season, but it really does seem like this is the end of the road for her, and it's really, really unfortunate. So I don't want to say that I don't think she's a one, because I do think that she's making good arguments to say, and I think that there is a slim possibility that something happens and she does stay. But it does seem at this point that she's going to be the one leaving. So I unfortunately have to, I got to give her a two. And I really don't like to do that, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we are here with Tiffany. It is, she's pretty much locked in to go home at this point. You know, I will not shy away from saying this is her own doing. I mean, she is the one that set up the end game that had these people. She is the one that, that screwed up her relationship with a lot of these people. I do not discount that fact at all. However, I do think that she has put a very good, effort in here this week to stay. She really has in a spot where I thought she was just a complete goner, this week. I do think that, she is, first of all, seemingly completely flipped Azza. Azza's like full on, I want to keep Tiffany. Xavier has said multiple times, nah, we got to get rid of Tiffany. I mean, I've always wanted to, but now we really should. And then again, the next day, but I mean, no, we have to get rid of Tiffany. I've always said that, but we definitely have to. Like, he is having to say that because he is thinking about it again, which is something that it's been so long since we've even seen that on this season.
Yeah.
It's always been so locked in. And even Big D was like, yeah, she had me for a second there, which is like, whoa, Big D all of a sudden. I think that she's done an admirable job of campaigning. I don't think she deserves the one here, but it's got to be a two. She's going home. And even if she doesn't, she's also in a position where she basically needs to win out in order to get to the end. And so it's not looking great here for Tiffany. Jacob, what do you think?
Skip me. Let's move on to Xavier. I'm joking. It's just so sad because it's just like at her as a player, like she doesn't deserve this week to go. She doesn't deserve. You don't really deserve Jack squat in the game of Big Brother. But I hate to give her. I have to go along with y'all. I have to give her a two as well because her likelihood of winning is, I think, the smallest margin out of anyone, because I don't think she can even surpass this week. And I know that she was really putting like the pedal to the metal with campaigning today.
Uh-oh. Jacob's internet was just like, you know, we can't stand this Tiffany slander. Here he is.
And then you froze.
Wait, my AirPods canceled out. Wait, let me recalibrate.
One thing I did want to say that I forgot to mention, Kylan. Oh my god, there's like so much.
Everything's
chaos.
Going on. Everything's you know what on. I just thought? I'll make a statement here because this thought just popped into my head. You know what's making me annoyed is that everything that I've said about Kylan is exactly what he wants me to say about him. I mean, when he loses the game to Xavier, he's gonna come out of the house and he's gonna be like, yeah, I was a really good player and I just made the decision to take Xavier because that's just me and I'm okay with the loss. And I'm going to be like,
my personal decision.
I'm playing into exactly what you want.
Yeah. One thing I do want to say about Kylan is that according to the curse, he'll be next out. So it's whoever is HOH and takes someone out, then they get evicted the next week.
Well, Tiffany skipped a week.
Oh,
no, because Claire was HOH. Remember, she took it over.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
So, see, every week,
well, no, because the HOH Tiffany, gets taken no, Tiffany out. Was still HOH the following week when she took out Claire, and then Alyssa went home after that. So there was a missed week.
Oh,
but it's within 2 weeks because DX also went out within 2 weeks.
That was literally the cosmic universe saying, like, she does not deserve this. Whatever happened, the dog barking, the freezing, the this going to my
speaker. Yeah, everything happened. It was like, it no, was literally
it was all of that. And I'm like, I know, I should not be doing this. Forgive me. Yeah, this is the likelihood of her winning. She has been really campaigning hard, which I'm so proud that she's not giving up. And it just shows the fluidity of Tiffany's game. When she went to Kylan basically, you know, shoved her nose into the ground and said no. And then she went to Xavier and it was really gaining track, like a little bit of traction on that. And it was just like, she's not giving up, which I really appreciate. And I can never give Tiffany a one after the powerful game that's in the most important game that she's played this season. But it's just, Tiffany, her power exuded to Texas. It literally, whatever happened, it exuded. And you have to give your respects to the queen right there. So, hey.
All right. Well, I can tell you that the audience, pretty generous here. They gave Tiffany a 4 this week. Tiffany, above Azza, and above Big D, in the audience.
I'm not mad about it though. TBH.
There you go.
Yeah.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But then, you know, anything with Tiffany is like, give her 100 at this point. But yeah.
All right. Well, let's finish up here with Xavier. I lost track of what I'm doing with the order. So I'm just going to start with Melissa.
I think I just did Tiffany first.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. So it's me then.
Yeah, it is you, Taryn. I'm about to say like.
Well, the problem is, Jacob Jones, that you messed me up because you were supposed to go first.
Oh, am I the villain?
Basically, I'm not the villain.
You're the baddie.
He's the baddie of the pod. We all know it. The baddie of the potty.
All right. So let's talk about Xavier. Xavier's interesting here. He is obviously positioned in the best spot. And he has done some things that I have liked game-wise. One is that, you know, again, I talked a lot earlier in this podcast about, the contributions to the cookout, and how he has not contributed nearly as much as other people and certainly not as much as he thinks he has. However, when it comes to the game within the cookout, he has obviously found the most success. Now, you know, there's then a debate to be had about like, how much of that is, you know, his own work, how much of it was a middle school crush. I personally, I would give X credit for the middle school crush. I mean, that is who he is as a player. He has, you know, he is somebody that Azza finds worthy of a middle school crush. And he has played into it enough to, you know, hold on to that influence. I also think that Xavier has done a very admirable job of pulling Big D away from Kyland and toward himself, which, was really not the case. I mean, that's, in my opinion, the most impressive thing Xavier has done in the entire game is that he has seemingly won Big D to his cause over Kyland when we know Big D has a middle school crush on Kyland. And so that has been impressive. Now, at the same time, I think that he is making probably the wrong move by sending Tiffany out. I think he even knows it, which is why he keeps reconsidering. He keeps saying Hannah is a bigger threat. I do believe that Tiffany would be more willing to work with him if he saved her than Kyland, and she would go after Kyland first, and would not immediately turn around and stab Xavier, whereas Hannah genuinely right now wants Xavier out as soon as possible. I also think Hannah is a little bit more capable of winning these endgame competitions than Tiffany is. And I think he knows both of these things, but he's so committed to his revenge for her winning the HOH. And he has said these words. I, you know, I've thought about this, but you know what? I said she lost $750,000 when she won that HOH. She's got to go. And I think that's not a good reason to send Tiffany out over Hannah at this time. However, you also, I guess the big thing here is, can you give him credit for the Kyland stuff, right? For Kyland wanting to take him to the end. This I would not give him much credit for. This I fully believe is Kyland's decision based on manipulation by Hannah and Claire and Sarah Beth and Tiffany, who all were trying to get him to go against Xavier by telling him Xavier's going to beat you in the end. Little did they know that only made him want to take Xavier to the end even more. And Xavier has never really pushed Kyland in a direction to encourage that line of thought. Kyland has always come to Xavier. And if anything, I feel like Xavier has been pushed by Kylan into feeling that same kind of thing. And he genuinely seems to want to go to the final three with Kylan, which I don't think is necessarily his best, decision either. I do think there's a lot to like here about Xavier's game, this week in particular. Tiffany over Hannah, you know, I don't think it's necessarily optimal, but it's still really good for his game that Tiffany is out this week, especially if she goes to the jury, you know, saying, why didn't they get Xavier? I like all of that from Xavier. I think that he is playing the within the cookout game the best at the moment, if only because I do think he would cut Kylan in the final three, although I don't think that is a given either. And so for those reasons, I am going to go with the 8 for Xavier. He is the likely winner of this season. And I think that for me, as a player overall, he, I think, is, around an 8. And so that's where I have stuck Xavier for now. And we will see where we go from there. Jacob Jones, what do you think?
So I would have to agree with you on the numerous points that you pointed out about Xavier's game. I do think he is the likely winner of this. I do think he has been playing the best game since they've, got to, even before that, but in the final six. And he's the likely winner. And it's kind of like, I was going back between I can't give him and Kylan the same bit, because I do think that X wins out over Kylan in that final two situation. And I think X wins out over a lot of the people right now. And assuming that Tiffany's leaving tomorrow, Thursday. And so his likelihood of winning is very high. And that, on that basis alone, it's just I can't really give him the same rating as Kylan. So I would have to bump it up to an 8 as well for Xavier's game.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, I agree with your points. I guess it's hard because it's he's in the best position, but is he the one who's put himself there? It's if Kylan, because Kylan, if he was going for his best game move, I think he probably would have targeted Xavier this week. It's getting X out because he knows if we're Kylan and we think X is the biggest threat to win, he's going to win this game. Okay, the next logical step is target him. You're HOH, get him out now. Instead, he's kept X in the game and wants to go to the end with him for some nonsensical reason that makes literally zero sense. So X should be in danger this week, on the block, possibly going home, scary situation for him. And yet, because Kylan is a dum-dum, he is still in the house and now in the best likely position to win. So it's hard for me because I want to reward the fact that he's in the best position to win. But at the same time, it's he's done nothing to put himself there in terms of this particular week. So I feel conflicted and I don't want to give him such a high score. But I do feel like I have to look at the fact that he is the most likely person to win. And therefore, I'm going to stick with my 7.
All right. Yeah, I think Xavier's best quality in the game is that he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I said that, I think, a long time ago as well. And I think it's held up over the course of the entire season. I think the primary reason he stands above everyone else in the cookout is that everyone else in the cookout has actively made mistakes that have pulled them down. And he has not made as many. And I think that is genuinely a very good quality for a Big Brother player to have. And it's why, it's one of the main reasons why I think he's in this position. But as I said, I do think we also, I would also give him credit for pulling Big D and for maintaining Azza as well. He could have made a mistake when Kylan comes to him and says, I want to go to the end with the best, bro. He could screw up. and give it away. And he has almost screwed up a couple of times. Colin's been like, is Xavier really going to figure it out? But he has played well enough to Kylan that he agrees, and he might also genuinely somewhat agree, that Kylan is bought into it. But the audience agrees with Melissa on this one. They gave Xavier a 7 this week. So there you go. It's going to be, an 8 overall for.
Oh, so
Xavier.
He went up. Ew. Okay.
He did go up.
This is not like, oh God, this is not the final, like, image you want to see for like near the end, or it's like this all is red. It's like, you want to see like all green or whatever.
Oh my goodness. I know.
Yeah. I mean, look, do not let anybody try to, cause this is what people will do is that like, if they disagree with your perspective, they will try to discredit the person. It's just Tiffany fans. It can't be objective. That's why that they're not giving Xavier credit for his time in the cookout is because they're Tiffany fans. Look at this board, guys. If you have a counter argument, make a counter argument. Don't result to like, who's bias? They're biased. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to listen to what they say. Don't listen to what they're biased. It's the laziest argument you could ever see. That's what we have. And also, while I'm at it, don't send hate to the panelists. That'd be nice. We're talking about a game. We're trying to do our best, rate the players as best we can. We're not always right. We're not always you're not always the most accurate people. We all have biases here and there.
It's supposed to be fun. To just be a fun, cool time. And if everybody had the exact same rating as the viewer sitting at home, like, it would not be interesting. What would we talk about? Just like, yep, I agree. We're all in this. Okay, cool. Next person. Literally. Like, it's more fun to be able to talk about it and have people be like, what? That's the rating. Oh, that's the rating I thought. Blah, blah, blah. And like, it's supposed to be fun. This is just supposed to be a fun, interesting discussion among friends. It's not supposed to be this like thing where we have to be the most accurate predictors of who's going to win and blah, blah, blah. And like the stock watch and everyone's making money or whatever. It's like, no, there's no real money. This is just for fun. I lose every year and everyone needs to know that, except for last year, but whatever. That was a fluke. But basically, I'm terrible and I still have fun.
Yeah, it's all for fun. If you send me hate, I'm sending it to Melissa and I'm going to send it to my daddy, Taryn. So, and they're going to get you.
Yeah, we'll stick Rob on you.
Yes.
Yeah. Surefire sign that like you're just uncomfortable, like you're uncomfortable with people's opinions that you disagree with, that you can't even like, you have to like misrepresent what people are saying and try to like be like, oh, this, they're so wrong all the time. It's just so terrible. Don't you listen to them because they say things that don't agree with and it just makes you uncomfortable. Please, you gotta stop. We gotta send hate to them. We gotta say mean things.
Either listen and have fun along with us, or just like don't listen, but don't sit there and like send us hate, please.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah. All right. Well. Let's move on here. We will not go straight to the leaderboard because last time we tried that, it did not work out well.
Is it with your new technology?
It's always with the new technology. But let's run through some of these survey questions from the audience.
Last time I was on and we did this, Melissa, I won, not to brag. I think I got one wrong and I think you got about umpteen ones wrong. And so... You know,
wow, bringing this up. Okay.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, baby. What can I say?
Mad smack talk happening right now.
Wow. We'll see who wins this time.
Well, I asked the audience to rank their favorite players to their least favorite players. Let's see. There are only 6 players left in the game. So how did the audience rank the members of the cookout? Who is number one?
Tiffany.
I. I think it's Tiffany too. Yeah.
You're both correct. Tiffany is the number one person in the cookout. Who's number two?
Hannah.
Hannah.
Correct. Who's number three?
Xavier.
Aza?
Melissa is correct.
Oh,
it is.
Well,
Aza.
My, how the turntables have now turned on you, and they are still turning.
Only three players left. Jacob is down by a point. Who is in fourth place?
Xavier. Kylan. No, Melissa, please say Xavier.
I think this is
actually a trick question. There's a tie for fourth place. Oh, kid you not.
I think Kylan and Xavier are in fourth, and then Big D is down at the bottom.
Absolutely.
That is correct. Xavier and Kylan exactly tied. I keep refreshing the page.
They're like, they're all bad.
Let me go in here and vote chat real quick. Hold on.
Like, oh, wow. It looks like.
Oh, there we go. Kylan just went up on Xavier by 1 point. So Kylan in fourth is.
Well, okay. Can we give me that point?
I believe Melissa
said Kylan as well. So
you get nothing.
Nothing.
So
except the shame.
The order of the cookout is Tiffany, Hannah, Aza, Kylan, Xavier, Big D in last place. I asked the audience to rate the episodes this week. They gave them a 5.2, down from the 5.7 last week. Rate the feeds a 4.5, down from the 6.6. They a 5.2, even with that double eviction, which I did think was a very good episode of the show. I think people have just really been not
turned
excited
off
about the season here. The season as a whole, a 6.5, down from the 7.1. This is the lowest it has ever been. Not finishing strong. Rating the competitions this week down to a 5.3 from a 5.8 last week. I asked the audience to rate Claire's game overall. Claire as a player, now that she's out of the game, not her position, but Claire as an individual player, independent of the season, how would she do if you threw on 1,000 different seasons? What does the audience think? They gave her a 5.8, so around a 6 out of 10.
I was going to say 6.
I think she's better than that. I think that the thing that she is missing is like she's got like the mind for the game, I think. And I just remember like the first week when it was more of like a quote unquote normal season where you had like a big alliance forming, and her and Tiffany did their strategy session with the chessboard, and they both were like, okay, we're figuring this thing out together. And I was very impressed with her. Then when you got the cookout, which I do think is a little different than a normal season because it was kind of an alliance that never really met. And so like, how would you know there was an alliance there? And it was like a lot easier to hide that than like, you know, the slaughterhouse. She obviously faltered, but I think generally, I do think that Claire is a good player. I think she lacks the ability to like turn it on and then like make the moves. I mean, maybe she would, but we didn't get to see it. So, I don't think I would give her like an 8 or a 9 or something. I might give her like a 7 just because I do think that she's really smart and I do think she'd be able to figure it out. And I do think as much as we want to say like, oh, her social game was like kind of lacking, like I do think she had a good social game in terms of when someone was talking to her, when the HOH was talking to her or whoever, she was really good at like agreeing with them and making sure that they felt totally comfortable with her and that she was on their side. And like all these conversations that like I probably would have been so irritated by and been like, oh, okay, enough. But she was just like, mm-hmm, yeah, totally, 100%, yeah. It's like, I couldn't do that. So I do feel like she could do well socially on a game. And so I would probably give her a 7.
Yeah, I think a 6 is appropriate. I think it could be lower. It could be higher. You know, it is tough to judge these players. It's such a unique season. You know, we settled on like a 4 or a 5 for Sarah Beth. I think that Claire is a better player than Sarah Beth. You know, had made better decisions overall. But still in that spot where she made a bunch of not great ones, you know, again, like Sarah Beth in a position where the entire house was against her, regardless of the cookout. Whereas Claire, if there's no cookout, probably does make a good, run to the end of the game and has a chance to win. And so, you know, I do think she has that going for her. I think her biggest weakness is her social game. She just did not get out there enough. She was also too passive in this particular game. And she also was not great at competitions. And so all of those things really drag her down. And so, you know, I could see an argument for a five as well for Claire based on this season's performance. But, you know, I do think that, you know, there are some extenuating circumstances. I do think she has some potential as a player. I could definitely see a six here for Claire.
Yeah, I do think like mind for the game is a seven for me, but I do think her inability to win competitions probably brings her down to a six.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Then Alyssa. Audience a little lower on Alyssa. They gave her a 4.8, 1 point down. So about a five for Alyssa overall. I actually feel personally pretty similarly about Alyssa as I do Claire for different reasons. I think Alyssa is a bit better socially and has more drive to be an active player. But her mind for the game, the strategic portion of the game was not quite as on point as Claire's at times. Good in different ways, bad in different ways. I wouldn't say necessarily super, like a lot better. She also seemed like a slightly better at competitions, but was not as good at just like overall maintaining multiple relationships at a time. Like even though she had the potential to be more social, she really like narrowed in on one person. And you know, even Claire, who, you know, lacked a social game, in general, was able to branch out to Hannah, Derek X, Kylan, like a lot of other people that she was able to bond with. She even bonded with the Jokers a decent amount, whereas Alyssa tended to narrow in on Christian and then Xavier. And so that's where I feel like Alyssa has the potential for a better social game than Claire, but in practice, it never happened. And then, you know, in practice, a lot of things never happened for Alyssa. So I'm in a pretty similar place for both of their games.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I would probably rate Alyssa out of five, probably just because I do think that you're right in that there is potential there. But I do think that she tends, it seems like, and I don't know how it would be in a future season, but she did stick to one person. First it was Christian, then it was X, and she didn't really branch out, and she didn't really like kind of look to see what exactly was going on in the house and kind of just like stuck with her person and trusted that structure that that person was telling her was the house. And so I wasn't super impressed with her game. And so I don't know how she would do on a future season, but if she does just like tie herself to one person, that's not really good. So I think I have to go with a five for her.
And I think like in that CBS, they released something like, oh, who would your favorite? Like, who would you align with if you were in Big Brother?
And I was going to mention
Jordan. And yeah. So it was like, now it like really doesn't surprise me that she wants like that connection, that one person to put her soul allegiance into. And so with that answer, and I don't think Alyssa should be above a foe, to be honest. And so it's just kind of like, I mean, she may be able to do perform if she doesn't get into like a, you know, just the things that have happened this season. But yeah, I don't really see that much going for.
And I should mention probably her. I think Alyssa's biggest weakness, I think, is her reads. She's very bad at reading people and the house. And that is where Claire exceeded for the most part.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. Let's talk about who was the best person for Hannah to have targeted for her game in the double eviction. Who should she have gone after? She did go after Alyssa. Who should she have gone after? The audience says Xavier. She should go after Xavier for her game. Makes sense.
I mean, she was even like on his behind, like even leading up to like, oh yeah, like we definitely need to start like looking at him and taking a shot at him. But they had to get out Alyssa first. But and so that was definitely something she was already thinking about.
Yeah. Who is the best person for Kylan to have targeted for his game? The audience also says Xavier. And I'm not sure I'm 100% in agreement with this. I do see the case for not taking the shot at Xavier. But I also see the case for take. I mean, it's actually kind of like, you know, if you look at it in a spot where he's not taking Xavier to the final two, you could see it as a Derek X, should I take the shot at Christian move of like, should I get out the biggest comp threat right now and hope that I comp my way down from five? Or should I lull him into this sense of security that he wins maybe a comp or two for me? And then maybe I cut him at the end. You know, I feel like there's a case to be made either way, but either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I thought the answer would be Azza, because Azza has been the one to like really outwardly say like, oh yeah, I don't like you. I don't really rock with you. I kind of want you out. And with Xavier, it is that point of like, he could potentially cut Kylan in the end. And Xavier is like has the highest chance of winning at this point. But I just thought it would be Azza with that one, just based off of their relationship and her mindset with him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I also asked, will Xavier turn on Kylan? Will he turn on Kylan? Now, I didn't want to specify like prior to Final Three or at Final Three, because I just overall, do we think, because he made it Final Two, the gentleman's club. With Kylan, is he going to be loyal to the gentleman's club? Will he cut Kylan prior to the final three, and will he cut Kylan at the final three, or will he actually take Kylan to the end? The audience says with 80% of the vote, yes, he will turn on Kylan.
Oh, he will turn on him. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think he will.
I'm not 80% convinced. I'm probably like 75% convinced. But I do think there's a decent chunk of me that says, because the thing about Xavier is that he has been told by so many people that he can beat Kylan in the final two, that I don't know that he thinks he needs to cut Kylan. And that, you know, I don't think he intends to cut Kylan prior to the final three. And then if he has the choice between Kylan and Big D, does he take Big D? Probably. But I do think that there's a part of him that feels like I can take Kylan and still win. And I think that there's a part of, you know, Kylan's influence of like, take the best, beat the best, that could, you know, get in his head a little bit. And if it's somebody other than Big D sitting next, if Azza sneaks her way into the final three, or Hannah sneaks her way into the final three, I definitely think he takes Kylan at that point. So, you know, something worth considering.
We All shall right. see, child.
Who do you want to be evicted this week? Hannah or Tiffany?
Nobody.
Yeah, I think it was one. Hannah.
63% says Hannah.
Okay, give me the point. I didn't see Melissa mouth move. Nuh-uh.
That's not part of this competition.
Nah.
That's not part of this.
It's actually, this is a 1-2-3 here. It's who do you want evicted this week? Hannah with 63% of the vote. Who do you want to win HOH this week? Hannah with 68%. Who do you think will be evicted in the double eviction?
Hannah with 50% of the vote.
47% of the vote. So
my math is mathing.
Yeah, they think they're going to be wrong in any situation. It's like, okay, who's going to go? It's like, well, I want Hannah to go, but I know Tiffany's going to go. So then I want Hannah to win the HOH, but I know she's not going to win the HOH. So then I think Hannah's going to go.
All right. Well, let's get over here to the leaderboard on the Stockwatch.
And I have not played since the last time I was on, so pay a dust.
Okay,
I don't even
well,
look at mine.
It looks like we have a new leader here on the leaderboard.
Wow.
Matthew in the lead.
Wow.
Going all in on Xavier, who made some money this week. This was a dangerous week. A lot of people moved down. I don't know who took risks and who did not.
Are we noticing that the worst Melissa is a person on there now.
The worst,
I never
Melissa.
Saw that before.
The worst Melissa is the best performing Melissa.
The worst Melissa. Melissa is the best Melissa.
That's so funny.
Oh my God.
Well, it looks like a lot of Xavier investors definitely took some profit.
Wait, I saw
there.
Jake. Oh, that wasn't me.
I stayed on the front page. I held this week. Let me tell you, I was so close to going in on Xavier. I was literally in the middle of a stream.
Yeah,
I was like,
sure.
I had it all bought, and I just didn't press the button.
Yeah, so was I,
Taryn. I held.
I held
instead. I played it safe.
Everything in a helm. Yeah,
I was too, so Taryn. I was gonna put all of my stuff into Xavier. Literally. I was gonna do it. I was like, finger right about to press enter, and then I like forgot.
Me same.
And I forgot to press enter.
Matthew went from 16th to first place with that Damn. Xavier risk. What wow. a move there. Let's see. I went, I actually moved up by holding. Look at that. A lot of people took risks, I guess, then. I went up 14 places. Let's see. Where is Melissa?
I took a risk on Azza. Never again.
I took a risk on. You know what?
Happening.
The worst Melissa doesn't count as a Melissa because Melissa isn't the first word in the name.
Oh, so no wonder we never see the worst Melissa when we pull up Melissa.
But Melissa, you are still beating Melissa's Denny's.
Yay.
Oh, thank God! Finally. Beating somebody. Look at that. I had Azza right there.
69 shares of Azza, like, lost $89, moved down 375.
So
wait, look
places.
At me, Taryn. Look at me.
Let's look at
Jacob Jones.
Jacob Jones, not the worst Jacob.
Wait, did I move up?
Let's see here.
You have five.
You moved up 16 places. You lost $40,
right.
But you moved up 16
places.
You have
places. Just five shares is the most that you have. Oh my God, that's so funny. You
Don't
really haven't done anything.
Call it a takeover.
I do believe you are still ahead of Melissa. 34.20, and then Melissa is 38.39. So you're about 400 places
yikes.
Ahead of Melissa.
Never trusting Azza again.
Oh, hey, that was a fun next this week. When can I put some more money in today?
The market is now open. So you can go to realitystockwatch.com and start buying some shares. We're also
don't forget
looking.
It's a double.
It is another double.
Does that mean we put in double the amount?
No,
that's what the leader did. The leader went all in on a double eviction and they profited big time.
Oh, okay.
So, but I also think the previous leader also tried that and I don't even know where they went. So, was the previous leader, went in on Tiffany and moved down 111 spots.
Yikes.
Wait, so do our scores go into that? Like are the scores that we put down?
Oh
okay. I just thought I was just like maybe they do, but I was just like, if you know, whatever. I just toss some money in there somehow. But I really never knew the mechanics about it. I was like, I'm putting some money.
Yeah, I still don't understand it. I just go onto the projections page and then I kind of see like who is the safest bet.
Oh.
Like if this person loses one, if they go down one. Do they lose a ton of money or do they, because sometimes if you go down a rating, like you can gain money. It's very confusing. I have no idea how it works, but see, this is Taryn can talk about like all like the smart moves to make, but this is the moves of a dumb person. So basically what you'll do is you'll
go. Smartest idiot I have ever seen in my life.
Exactly. You'll go on the predictions page or the projections page. You'll see what if they go down one will actually make money because some of them are like that and you'll pick that person and then that's what you'll put all your money in them no matter who they are and then the next week even if they go down one you still are okay and that's what I do.
okay nice well it's never too late folks.
Yeah, and maybe people shouldn't listen to my advice because I'm clearly not doing well. But like,
I'm doing better than Melissa. I mean, I said Melissa. So sorry, Melissa.
If they want to listen to me and do it that way, that is a totally acceptable, great way to play this stopwatch.
All right. We're working on trying to get something Stockwatchy running for Survivor this season as well. So if you guys are interested in that, I will be podcasting about Survivor. It premieres next week, I believe. I'm going to try and workshop some ideas, because obviously the way that we do it for Big Brother would not adapt perfectly to Survivor. It's a pre-taped show and there may be spoilers out there. So there are other ideas that I have to make it work for that show, but could be fun. We're going to try it out. You can check that out. I'm going to be workshopping those ideas probably sometime, maybe tomorrow, on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, if you want to check that out. You can also just find me there in general. I'll be watching the episode live with you guys tomorrow night on Twitch. I'll also be live in the morning to update you guys on what has been happening on the feeds here at Rob's podcast. Melissa, any final thoughts on the week?
Yeah, I do want to say something, because I'm not going to be able to be on the podcast this week for like one of the recaps where normally I would mention this, but the comics just came out. The BB comics just came out. And I have to say, they're really phoning it in, aren't they? They're really like not Big Brother related at all. There's nothing clever about them. And they just like are like, okay, well, what is literally anything? Like, what is anything? It doesn't have to relate to their gameplay. It doesn't have to relate to their personality. It doesn't have to relate to anything about them. But what is something that we could draw for this person? Like, that's literally what it seems like. It's like they used to be very specific about, or at least it felt this way. They were very specific about how they would tailor it to each person. Like, they'd be like, okay, what makes this person unique? What makes this person unique in their gameplay? What do they talk about a lot? Or what do people say about them? Let's incorporate that into a comic. And, you know, that way it's kind of like a nice little nod to the fans, or a nice little nod to like these in-house jokes, or like the way that they're playing the game. And let's put that in a comic. So that way when they see their comic, they're like, okay, this is how I'm being perceived, or this is the way my gameplay is looking, or this is something unique about me. And this season, and I feel like it's kind of been like trending in this way, but in this season in particular, there's absolutely nothing about any of the comics that has anything to do with them as individuals or them as game players. And it's very unfortunate, because I do always really love seeing Big Brother comics come out, and there's just like nothing. Like, I'm sorry, like there's so much they could have done, but they have just like, I don't know, just like Kyland, like as the Kylander or something, like it's supposed to be a play on Outlander, but Melissa, that has nothing to do with Kyland. And then you've got like Xavier that has nothing to do with Xavier. Azza that has nothing to do with anything that Azza's done in the house. The only one that had to do with anything that happened in the house was Big D with the sleeping. And then Brittany, I guess, with the like competition she did. Yeah. But even then it like wasn't super clever. So like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like that, none of that was good. Claire Bear, but like, come on. That has nothing to do with anything she does. Like, everyone was like, what is this? What does this mean? Like, what's this a reference to? Oh, it's a reference to Care Bear, which has literally nothing to do with Claire. Like, I mean, come on.
It feels like you're telling me that my idea for your comic, Melissa Belissa, is not a good idea.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, I'm sorry, but that's so creative. Yeah, there's nothing, like, I mean, do you guys disagree? Because I feel like these comics were so boring.
Hear me out. Jacob Bones.
That's actually kind of clever.
No, that's not. we're not going to want to give him back.
Dude, like, no.
You know what, Jacob? I did miss your insight because the last time you were on the roundtable, we discovered something about you, which is that you are the finger of the people. The other night, Azza was talking about her fingers, and I was like, we need Jacob Jones on this podcast
to
give his input on Azza's fingers.
What did she say about them? I forgot.
They were like nimble, and they could get the egg through the wire.
Oh, so if we're talking about nimble,
people say about this
fingers? If we're talking about nimble fingers, I have them. And the longer this can go into a very different territory that I don't want it to go in. But I've seen Azza's hands. Azza has beautiful hands. And if the nimbler, the betterer. The flexibler, the betterer. And, you know, if they're able to... then they're able, you know... I think if I had those air comps, I could be able to... Like, do you see these, Taryn? Like, do you see this?
No, those are perfect egg-holding hands.
Like, literally, yeah. I make hard-boiled eggs, and I can literally...
I see the eggs in your hands right now.
Do you?
Yeah. You're Taryn, holding, like, 10 of them.
You want to know a joke that you said on a podcast? I think it was a recap that I was appalled. Appalled!
Uh-oh.
So
sometimes I sneak them in there and nobody notices.
Sometimes you do, but my face in the reaction, I was like, ah! Because you really never catch Taryn slipping on the wet and wild side until he does. So I'm about to put Taryn on blast right now. So we were talking about Whitney and using lotion with Xavier, right? And Taryn, it was the ball comp where like they was like had to, you know, throw the balls over there and then come back in the sand and then get the other balls and whip them back over. Balls. And we're talking about Whitney's putting lotion on Xavier's hands. Taryn, with his full chest, said to me, Jacob, as the finger of the people, and I'm sure you use lotion, how do you handle your balls?
Taryn,
Melissa,
I wanted to. Was Rob there for that?
Yes, he was.
Oh
there.
My goodness! In front you of just, Rob, look,
you have to say it with enough like gravitas that people don't. It's that it's not quite that people are like, did they? Did he just?
Did he just say it? Because he said it with a straight face. But Taryn,
in front of our Rob,
but it was something that I was like.
Jacob was caught off guard.
Oh my god! You know, but I loved it. It was probably one of my fondest memories.
Aww,
of you, Taryn.
That's so sweet.
I honestly love Taryn. I like hanging. You know, blah, 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 blah. But yeah.
Wow, that's so sweet. What a compliment!
Thanks so much, Jacob. I appreciate it. So I don't know what you're.
He's looking
at you. I'm looking at you.
Now you look at him. Now you turn and I'll look up. Aw. Did it work? Someone's got to like screenshot that one. We couldn't see it because we were looking at each other.
But yeah.
Well, thank you, Jacob. I appreciate that. You know, you're always able to sort of like, you come in, you're so positive. You really lift people up with your deft fingers, and it's feels great.
Not it feels great. Moving on.
Not it feels great.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
Taryn's like, what?
She's like, what happened?
What?
That's what we have for you guys this week. Thank you for hanging out here on the Big Brother 23 Roundtable Podcast. We'll be back next week to talk about the final four is where we'll be at that point. And we'll see where things go from there. A lot to get down to. Again, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, or on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Jacob Jones, where can people find you?
People can find me at that's how you say it. But no, people can find me on Twitter at JacobJ_Jones. Also, me and Maggie Morgan, we're co-hosting the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We're half a podcast, and our first episode just dropped tonight. And Melissa, are you a Housewife fan?
I am not watching the current seasons. I watched some of the really old ones. Like I watched like the first few seasons in New York. I'm like an OG person, but I have not seen the new stuff.
Because somebody's
I heard
going
Salt
to jail
Lake
this
is
season.
Very good.
Yeah, it's very good. And Taryn, we may see a Salt Lake Housewife on next season of CBB. BBC? What? C Celebrity Big Brother. Yes. CBS. Yes. We may see one of those. You need a background on whoever we get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Wait. And you know Brandi Glanville from season one was also a Real Housewife?
I do know that, yeah.
So, you know, they like to pull from the Housewife franchise and, you know, Salt Lake City maybe. And so may want to get a refresher in. But yeah, so that's where you can catch me. And I had a, Melissa asked, but I just want to say, I literally love hanging out with you two. Like Melissa, I like love hanging out with you, Taryn. Like I love hanging out with
it's
you.
It's so
as well.
Fun.
So, thanks for like having me.
We get to tease Taryn.
I know it was a privilege. We get to. Yeah, I love it.
I'll paw you guys.
All right. Well, you can of course find Melissa at It's Melissa with three A's.
Yep.
Three of them. So sometimes they get a little scared.
Yes.
Yeah. Melissa. Ah.
Melissa. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where you find her. Thank you guys so much for joining us here today. And we'll see all of you next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.